welcome to the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and whole life success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner.
And I'm Willie Bidot, a lab animal specialist and a money nerd. Today we have a special podcast. We wanted to focus on frequently asked questions that we see on the Debt-Free Vets Facebook group. One of them is financial resources. Everybody wants to become financially literate. So, you know, Meredith and I pretty much learned by ourselves, just hearing podcasts, reading books, different courses. So we wanted to share what we have used and also what we hear are beneficial resources out there. And we're going to start with podcasts because we have a podcast. And I'm hoping that this podcast is helping you becoming financially literate. So for basic finances, one that helped me at the beginning a lot was actually Student Loan Planner. Because of the student loan component, they had a lot of basic finance podcasts that went through, you know, retirement plans and starting businesses, what to do, which I really enjoyed back when I went into this journey around 2018. They interviewed the people from ChooseFI at some point. So again, you start listening to one podcast and then they start referring to other podcasts and you go down that chain. ChooseFI is great. They pretty much have any subject you can imagine financially related, and there's a podcast about it, and they do a very good job at explaining everything. What else do you have for basic financial podcasts, Meredith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think those are two really good ones. So ChooseFI, whenever I first started hearing it, I was just like, how do you even spell that? Because it just sounded like it was some like foreign word, but it's the word choose and then FI as letters. And so ChooseFI, so definitely that one is a good one. And over the years, they've covered just about every financial topic under the sun, I think. I do work with Student Loan Planner now. But yeah, I mean, Student Loan Planner, we've continued to publish podcasts that are personal finance in general related and not just student loan related. So that is definitely another one to check out. On the veterinary specific side of things, a few that I really like: the Veterinarian Success Podcast. So that is a podcast that Isaiah Douglas does. He's a certified financial planner. He does a lot of interviews as well. We like to do interviews on this podcast a lot of times. He does a lot of interviews of prominent folks in the industry and also up and coming folks in the industry, some practicing veterinarians, practice owners. So really good content there. The Uncharted Veterinary Podcast, which is done by Andy Rourke and Stephanie Goss. So that one is also a really good one as far as practice management topics specifically. The Cone of Shame is another podcast that Andy Rourke does that has some episodes that are related to veterinary business. And so you'd have to kind of scroll through and see which ones are more relevant there, but some very good and some interviews on the Cone of Shame side of things. And then Dr. Dave Nichols' Blunt Dissection podcast. So he's not publishing that regularly. It was every single month for, I think, about 5 or 6 years. Did a really excellent job with that. He's an excellent interviewer and speaker. And it's not being published on a monthly basis anymore. I think when he goes to conferences, he's still doing some interviews and putting those out there. But those are also very good on the veterinary business and practice management side of things. What do you have on the real estate side of things, Willie?
Before that, I need to search my name in Spotify, but I think the Veterinarian Success Podcast was my first ever podcast. So I say I interviewed me and my wife, for both veterinarians. I think that was my first podcast. But on the real estate side, for those of you who like real estate, Bigger Pockets, I think that's a bread and butter podcast. I think they have split up into different subjects. I haven't heard the podcast in a while. I went through a phase where I wanted to be very involved in real estate and heard a bunch of their podcasts, read a bunch. They also have a publisher, so they publish a lot of books. But Bigger Pockets is definitely on the real estate side, the one that I would point people to. They have a pretty cool website with a lot of calculators that have helped me figure out the journey into real estate. So that's what I think for podcasts. You know, there's definitely other life podcasts that I listen to, but if we wanted to just stick to the finance one, Those are the ones that we have in mind. And my journey started because I had massive student loans. So student loan specific, Meredith, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. So student loan specific. So of course, I'm going to mention Student Loan Planner again. So there is a weekly newsletter that is really helpful. Emails that tell you the latest about student loan news, because there's always something new coming out from the Department of Education. And we mentioned the podcast. Student Loan Planner also has a blog that has a lot of personal finance topics, like related to retirement and mortgages and disability insurance, like anything that you can think of that is a personal finance topic. They have probably touched on it somewhere in their blog. On the student loan side, also, of course, we've got the Venn Foundation Student Loan Repayment Simulator that has a great calculator. And so that is one thing I always mention with that is that ideally, if you're putting in your information into that calculator, you would be actually uploading your student loan data file to the calculator to make sure that you're pulling in the most accurate information and not just plugging in numbers into the calculator. And then there's the granddaddy of all student loan resources, which is studentaid.gov. And so that is the Department of Education's website. And so that is where you go when you are looking for the language to make sure that, like with a student loan rule or anything related to eligibility for various programs, like the IDR waiver that is coming through later this year, for example. Anything related to that, actually going straight to the source is going to be the best way to go. Also tell you where not to go for accurate student loan information. That is the loan servicers. So you would think that your loan servicer would have accurate information when you call them about your student loans. And that is unfortunately not the case most of the time.
That's a great point. I would never recommend anybody to call their services unless they have a plan. Like if you have a plan, you stick to your plan. Don't listen to what they tell you and tell them, hey, do this, 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 and that. The advice I heard from people that they give is horrifying and they could ruin your student loan repayment plan. So yeah, and you know, studentaid.gov is a very important website. I feel like not just for information, but with all the craziness happening with loans, you should be going into that website. Every time you hear some crazy idea about student loans being forgiven, you should download your data, take pictures of the website, and keep your information. I do that probably every 2-3 months. I just download the information, save it in my computer, just in case anything happens. Because, you know, one example for me is I am going through the PSLF, the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. And now they're taking over that program, which is something very new. So I'm really worried they're going to mess up. So I have, again, taking pictures of everything, making sure that I have the data to support if anything happens to that information.
Yeah, that's a really smart plan. Yeah, have screenshots, have dates and times attached to them, especially if you're going for public service loan forgiveness. And for those veterinarians who are going for long-term forgiveness, like on pay or IBR or save, for example, the 20 to 25 year forgiveness timelines, later this year, there is going to be a tracker for your payments so that you know once that payment count adjustment comes through, so that you'll know how many payments you actually have toward income-driven repayments. It's been available for a while for folks who are going for public service loan forgiveness, but so far, there hasn't been a way to keep track of that for the longer term plans. And so that's something to watch out for later in 2024.
So I think that covers where I would go for information for student loans. One of the hot topics, compensation. So what compensation resources you got, Meredith?
All right, compensation resources. So it's been interesting because I've come across these more through conversations with practice owners and practice managers, and then also just through my own research. But there are some really good compensation surveys that are out there that a lot of people don't know about. And so one of them is put out by the VHMA. So that's the Veterinary Hospital Managers Association. And I think it's every other year they have a survey that comes out that tabulates not only associates and practice owners compensation, but it has hospital managers, hospital administrators, technicians. So it's got a pretty wide array of salary information for various positions in the veterinary field. And then the National Association of Veterinary Technicians in America, they have a really excellent survey that focuses on veterinary technician salaries as well. And so what compensation resources do you have, Willie?
I wouldn't use it as a first resource, but I like to point out that the AVMA does try to provide data. They do have a salary calculator. I mean, it's really broad because it's usually just by state. So it's really hard to say, you know, where I live in a rural area, I live in a city. So you can't really compare that. But again, you can have a basis of, you know, what should I be earning in that state? Public records. And I say that because I work for public institutions. So, you know, if somebody asks me as a lab animal vet, how much should I be making? I'm going to go and check on the university website and see how much other lab animal vets are making. Because again, most universities are publicly owned and the salaries are posted. Some of them might lag into the year that they last posted it, but I frequently search, you know, I meet a person and I'm like, how much does this person make? And I can just quickly search it.
That's nosy. You know,
I want to know. You know, I like numbers and like to know that information, especially helping negotiate contracts with people. You know, I want to kind of know what people are making in other states. And then it's funny, you had mentioned before we hit play that if you look up veterinary production, so VFS is the first thing that pops up, their blog. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you look up on Google veterinary production, then the blog called How to Calculate Production is likely to come up. So that is one that I refer folks from the Debt-Free Vets group to all the time who are like, I want some sort of example to explain to me how production works, you know, with salary plus production compensation structure. And so that gives examples of with negative accrual, without negative accrual, and monthly, quarterly, that sort of thing, and talks about pros and cons. So that's definitely a resource to check out if you haven't seen it. Another thing I'll mention on the compensation side is for Relief Vets. Relief Rover has a survey that they did and has a resource out there where you can look to see what Relief Vets in different states charge for relief rates. And so, of course, any of these data sets are always going to be limited by how many people in a given area responded, but it's definitely a good starting point, along with, of course, talking with folks on some of the Relief Vet Facebook groups about how much they charge in certain areas.
Yeah. And, you know, another resource is always Facebook. There's groups specific to state. At least I live in Florida and I know there's a South Florida Relief Vet group, a Central Florida Relief Vet group. So You can join them and be candid. Ask those questions. You know, what are people making hourly rate for, in this case, Relief Vets? So, you know, I try to be open when we talk about compensation. And you have been running VFS for a while, so I know you have great resources for veterinary businesses.
Yeah, I have so many. And now, of course, I work with veterinarians as a financial planner for vets. And so I do have clients who are interested in starting practices of various sorts. Some folks are interested in starting house call practices, other people who are interested in starting a brick and mortar practice or buying into one. And so a couple things that are out there. So Cody Creelman is a veterinarian in Canada, and he actually recently put out his business plan to the public. And so it's a great resource that he has shared for free that anybody can access. And so I think that is a good reference to have as a framework for how you might want to write your own business plan or how you might want to get started or things to think about. Because often we'll get questions of like, I don't even know where to start as a practice owner. And it's like, okay, you know, it gives you some information that is a starting point. Like, you know, where do I want to go first? Where are my strengths? Where are my weaknesses? And so I think that would be a good place to look at the beginning. is something that we can put in the show notes, just a link to that business plan. So a resource that I have not used myself, but I have heard from practice owners is a really good resource is AHA has a couple of practice ownership books out there. And so I think that would be also another resource to look at and something that may be helpful for future practice owners. For folks who are looking to buy an existing practice or buy into an existing practice, if you're buying an existing practice, definitely you're going to want to get your own valuation on that practice. And, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that they should probably get their own representative to actually figure out the value of a practice before they buy it. And so if the person who did the valuation on a practice is only representing the seller, you know, that's kind of like when you're buying a house, you would like to have someone representing you, right? And you'd like to have a home inspection done and that sort of thing. So I think getting your own valuation, getting your own person who is representing you to say, hey, this is what this practice is worth, is something that's really valuable. And so one of the places that I suggest going to look for an expert to value your practice would be Vet Partners. So Vet Partners is an association of veterinary consultants. So they have not only valuation experts, but lots of different experts that practice owners may need to have at various times, like attorneys, for example, lawyers, accountants, etc. So that is another resource to check out. There is a directory online of Vet Partners members, and it can be sorted by region. But also when you're looking by region, remember that there are lots and lots of folks who are working remotely these days. And so you don't have to necessarily have someone in your area in order to work with someone veterinary specific for that purpose. Hey, Willie, you were talking a lot about ways that you have talked with experts to figure out how to price various things within the practice and talk about efficiencies, because now you're a practice owner. So tell us some of those ways that you have figured out how to do that without it costing a lot of money.
So I think I am an extrovert and I love to talk to people. So maybe sometimes I share too much information, but hey, that's how I learned. So, you know, started asking questions to other practice owners. I'm more focused in Puerto Rico. I have practice that offers low-cost pay and neuters. And now, actually, my wife is starting to offer her services in Puerto Rico as a veterinary dermatologist. So, again, you know, one of the main things that I started was with vendors. I need to buy stuff. That is clear. But I don't know how much to charge for stuff, and I'm not sure if I'm paying, you know, the best price for that stuff. So I talked to many vendors. Some of them have catalogs that gives you the retail price and their suggested sale price. So, you know, again, you ask for that catalog, you see what their prices are. Sometimes they'll ask you to open an account. So again, you have to feel comfortable, do your follow-up, open accounts with them. There's many different vendors that can sell the same thing. And again, $5, $10, $20 might make a huge difference when you're making bulk purchases, which in my case, you know, a big one is sutures. We go through a bunch of sutures doing surgeries all day. So certainly I want good suture, but also I need to buy the cheapest one that I can of good quality, because on a daily basis, that adds up. So minor things like that. With my wife part, what has helped me a lot is talking to PIMS people, because we're starting something new. So I'm like, how does the flow work? And talking to different people, Digitel was one that we interviewed. Our last episode was with the co-founder, I think he is, of Digitel, Sebastian. And I met with him after we actually recorded and asked him a bunch of questions of the flow of what should I be thinking of. That helped me a lot. And they go to the clinics. They talk to clinics and they could tell you, yeah, that clinic did that and that did not work. So you just got to ask. And you're going to make a lot of mistakes, believe me about that. But you just have to be willing to learn from those mistakes.
I do have some other resources for practice owners as well. So let's go back a little bit to those. And so other resources for practice owners. So I mentioned the Uncharted podcast earlier. There's also the Uncharted Veterinary Community. And so that's an online community. I know of practice owners and practice managers who felt like they were alone, you know, because sometimes if you're the leader of a practice, it can be lonely, you know. And so I think having a community where you can ask questions online, and I was part of the Uncharted community for years. So I saw that happen where folks would come in who felt like they were alone in their practice, and then they found their community and people would be able to answer questions and help them along. And they also have a practice owner summit and an Uncharted conference that is also really, really helpful. We mentioned Facebook groups earlier. There are some Facebook groups out there for practice owners. One that I am part of is the DVM Owners and Aspiring Owners Meet and Greet Facebook group. And so that's a really good one because you don't have to be a practice owner yet to be in the group. But if you are interested in becoming a practice owner, that is a good one because there are lots of practice owners who can help you get started and answer questions as you're getting started. For current practice owners, I have heard amazing things about VMG, veterinary management groups. And so definitely that's something if you're already a practice owner and you haven't checked that out, definitely check it out. And then on the equine side, we have a friend of VFS, Stacy Cordovano, runs sustainability in equine practice seminars. And so that's a really great resource if you are interested in equine practice management, practice ownership. And so lots of good resources through them. The AVMA has their economic state of the profession reports. So those have a lot of helpful data that can be used to kind of guide you along if you're looking at, okay, well, what's the average, for example, for starting salaries, or if you're looking for data on, gosh, you know, how many people are in large animal practice these days, you know, various things that may be helpful to you as you are getting started with a business.
Yeah, I think that's a very powerful document. If you're an owner of a practice, you know, you might fade away with your own practices. You've been an owner for so many years, then you want to hire associates. I think that would be a document to read and see what's happening in the profession. Mm-hmm. And it really gives you a snapshot of what is happening in the profession, salaries, what the students are graduating, loan amounts. One thing that I appreciate from the last one was they had a survey of what's on the compensation package. So what benefits are they offering?
Yeah.
So again, if you want your clinic to stand out from others, you should be offering several benefits. And again, they have included that in at least in the last report. So Meredith, not everybody wants to be a practice owner. Some people want to be their own boss, either being a relief veterinarian or being a house call vet. Do you have any resources for those house call vets?
I do. I have a few resources for house call vets. So we've had Dr. Eve Harrison on this podcast before, and she has the House Call Vet Academy. So there are different components to that. So there's the House Call Vet Academy course. There are some free resources out there like her podcast and her website. And then there is also the House Call and Mobile Veterinary Conference that is a mobile conference that is usually in February every year. So a few different things to check out there. She also has a Facebook group called the House Call Vet Cafe. And then my best friend from vet school, actually, her name's Megan Ellis. She has a course on VIN that is related to mobile veterinary practice ownership. And so that is another thing that you can check out. So a couple of courses out there for folks who want to start house call practices. And then there is another Facebook group out there called the House Call and Mobile Veterinarians Facebook group. So that's another one that you can check out. And so, yeah, we talked about a couple of courses. What other courses are out there for veterinarians, Willie?
Of course, we need to talk about the VFS courses. There's a great investing course that we're going to put a link to the show notes that the Veterinary Financial Summit has. Of course, previous summit presentations are great. There's a lot of beneficial data relating to finances. That's the whole point of the summit. So certainly if you have access to those resources, that is good information there.
Yeah, and we actually, for folks who were not able to attend previous veterinary financial summits, you can actually purchase the previous summits as a course. So that is something we can put a link to the show notes for that. There's another course out there for veterinarians called Foundations of Veterinary Business. And so it's a course by UC Davis. And one of the instructors is Jim Clark, who has been a speaker at the summit in the past. And so I haven't taken that course yet, but that is on my list of things that I hope to do in the future. I want to get through the certified financial planner curriculum first, but that's going to be on my list in the future to take that course. I do have a colleague who is a financial planner who took that course, and he said it was a really great course. And then now that leads us to one of Willie's favorite topics, which is books.
Yeah, books. I wish I could look at my bookshelf and say, oh, these are the books, but I just give them away to everybody. I'm like, you haven't read this book? And I just hand them my book. So now I don't have any books in the bookshelf, but I remember their titles, of course. And frankly, there is one book, if you just want to learn basic financial literacy, is I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Meredith, you have met the author of this book. But again, I can't stress enough how basic this book is and how important it is.
Yeah, it's a really good book. And I have a joke that I tell in one of my lectures where I'll talk about Ramit Sethi and I'll say, I met him at a book signing once, so we're pretty much besties. So other books that I really have found useful is the book called The Psychology of Money. And so that is a really excellent book. And it's a little bit more of philosophy and just talking about, you know, different ways that people think about money. And that's really what that one is about, versus I Will Teach You to Be Rich is more of like, this is the way to do things. But I think it's a really, really interesting book. Another book that I read as part of my financial coaching coursework is called Nudge, the Final Edition. And so that one gets a little bit more into the weeds with behavioral economics and behavioral finance. And they have a lot of research that they talk about and a lot of different studies that they go into related to personal finance topics. On the veterinary side, so I actually have a book here called Lead to Thrive, which is by Josh Weissman, who is amazing and does a lot of speaking on veterinary teams and the culture of veterinary teams and has a background in positive psychology. And so that is another book that is a really excellent one to check out that is veterinary specific and on the practice management side of things, more so than the financial side of things. What else is on your shelf, Willie?
The Simple Path to Wealth. I think they mentioned that book in the Choose a Five podcast probably every single episode.
Yeah.
By J.L. Collins. Again, it's just the idea of just invest. Just invest continuously in something simple like the market. So they're big on either the S&P 500 or the full market, which is 3,000 some companies. So find an index fund that is a low cost index fund and just invest in that. I think at the end of the day, you know, if you want to simplify your life, that's the way to go. Just make sure that you're investing. So again, that's a good book. And one that I really liked because you keep thinking about acquiring wealth. What do you do once you make it? Is Why Die with Zero by Bill Perkins. I don't know. I really liked. He gives like, you know, different experiences that he had. One of them is he wanted to throw this big birthday in an island with his best friends. And he thought he did it. It took him too much time to plan, but still he had it. And it sounded like the most amazing party. And it's just like, and it took him time because he's like, no, I don't have enough money to do it. I don't have enough money. At the end of the day, you know, how much money do you actually need when you die? And the plan is to die with zero. So enjoy your life and die with zero.
See, that's interesting. So Willie and I are sitting here as vets who, you know, neither of us have children. And so when I think about Die with Zero, it's like, well, you know, and I haven't read the book. So you've read it and I haven't. But I think about that as like, well, you know, maybe I could die with zero, but maybe someone with kids wouldn't want to. What do you think about that?
Well, he addresses that in the book. Again, I hate talking about what the author thinks, but it's just, why not give your kids money while they're alive or help them while they're alive? So when you die, like, you gave them everything you could. Yeah, you know, do you just want to give him $1 million lump sum when you die, or just like try to slowly give him everything they need so they can succeed themselves? So he addresses that in the book. I read it a long time ago, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So you're giving them money while you're alive so that you can enjoy it together. And then you can also see what they do with it too.
That too. You can actually do that. I didn't even think of it, but yeah, exactly.
Okay. Interesting.
There's many other books that, you know, you have to be in good habits to save money so that you can retire properly or well, and depending on the term. So, you know, again, I'm not going to share those books, but there's definitely a lot more books that I have read that you can reach out to me and I'll be happy to give you a list.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Willie. Yeah. That's a real offer there. Willie would be happy to recommend more books to anybody. And then, okay, so what if I don't have time to read a whole book, Willie? What if I just want to read a blog?
Again, VFS, you have written several blogs there. I have written several blogs there. So good resources if you're looking for more vet-specific or actual experiences from veterinarians. Again, you work for them, so I don't work for them, but I'm going to say, again, Student Loan Planner blog is a great resource. Their blogs have a lot of details, and they consult with so many professionals, especially veterinarians, that they have collected so much data, and they publish it. So it's great. It's a great resource. And then for basic terms, I use NerdWallet a lot, mostly when I'm doing taxes. Like, Meredith, we were talking about taxes earlier. You know, NerdWallet, I look up like basic stuff, like what is the brackets right now? What is the limit for 401k right now? So, and I feel like the easily to digest information.
Yeah. And another one that I'll add to that is Investopedia. So it's not really a blog, but it's a great website for pretty much any sort of investing term. So anytime I hear a term that I'm like, I'm not sure that I know exactly what that means, or any sort of financial phrase, because sometimes you'll hear things out there that are just sort of esoteric where you're like, I'm not sure that I know what that phrase or that word actually means. Investopedia is going to have the answer. And they probably also have like a 1-minute video going over the answer as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they forgot they have the animated videos. Yeah, they're pretty handy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, so I think that will be it, at least for financial resources. I hope this helps. Again, these are from our experiences. If you enjoyed this episode, you can message us and let us know. We definitely want to do more of these episodes with the frequently asked questions from the Debt-Free Vets group, because again, we have really a lot of recurring questions that we want to address.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. If you liked this episode, click the follow or subscribe button. Until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a legal or financial professional before making any investment decisions.